Welcome to Alex Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara, and I wanted to check back in with the quarterback matrix here that we got up on the site. And this, I just sort of go through and just talk about some of the confidence stuff in terms of, you know, who we've got confidence in and heading into the 2023 season. You know, who was basically the 2022 starter? Who do we have confidence in is going to be the 2023 starter? Usually I do it as a look ahead. All right, so, you know, as we get into the off season a little bit more, I'll sort of flip ahead to 2024, right? Once we get this a little bit more concrete. But I do think there's a lot of questions right now. And there are some guys that I think are starters, but I'm not sure where they're starters, right? So you sort of have that balance. So let's start. We'll just run down the AFC and then we'll do the NFC and just talk about the where we are, basically. So Buffalo, Josh Allen, confidence he'll be the starter in 2023. Not a ton of mystery there. Imagine we'll see Case Keenum back as well, hopefully. Tua, yes. Yes. Brady's gone. I think that's helpful. I do think that's helpful. So we're going to go with him being the starter and feeling pretty comfortable about that where we are at present. So, I hope that his concussion stuff gets cleared up. I just hope that for him and for Miami. And honestly, like, we want to see good quarterback play. Like, I think he's probably over in Dynasty, but we want to see good quarterback play just because it's more fun to watch, right? So I'm hopeful that he's better. And that was a really good situation this past year. All right. The Patriots, Mac Jones. I'm saying no. The reason I'm saying no is there was just enough of a tinge of stuff out there. I think the most likely outcome is that Mac Jones is the 2023 starter. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion. There's just enough out there that's like, hey, there's a little bit of a step back from Mac Jones. You know, there's a, you know, some murmurings in the media as well. Can you never know sort of what to truly think about that? But it's just enough where I'm just putting sort of a pause on being firmly in on him for being the 2023 starter. I think it's the most likely outcome. I'm not certain about it. The Jets, Mike White, no. Zach Wilson, no. Joe Flacco, no. I don't think any of those guys are locked in to be the starter. They should adjust the position. Now, I did talk to my dad, who I got to bring on for a Jets recap here. He seems to think Derek Carr. I told him the biggest mistake the Jets can make is to pay a veteran contract to an average quarterback. Right? That's always a trap. And even though it might feel good if you want to win a Super Bowl, that's not it. So not sure if he's talking to me yet. We'll have to find that out. All right. Baltimore, Lamar Jackson, no. Tyler Huntley, Pro Bowl quarterback. Tyler Huntley. I don't know what's going to happen with this Lamar Jackson thing. You could tell me a lot of different things. You know, I heard someone say, you know, I'm recording this on Thursday night. I heard someone say just this week about how if Lamar Jackson was in the NBA, he would have been traded like this past summer. Just that's kind of the way the NBA trade market works. Not as much in the NFL, right? They have a little bit more leverage, a little bit more control over player contracts than they do in the NBA. I guess, I don't know. It's, I guess it's more scary to let guys test free agency in the NBA. You've got franchise tags and all that in the NFL. I just thought that comp was funny. So we'll see there what happens with him. I would imagine that he could pull a big deal if they tag him and try and trade him. So we'll see. Cincinnati, Burrow, yes. Cleveland, Watson, yes. Pittsburgh. I have yes on Kenny Pickett. I think he played well enough down the stretch where, like, he's a classic example of I'd rather have a, like, maybe even below average starting quarterback on a rookie deal than to pay an average quarterback veteran money. Like, Kenny Pickett's going to be like the poster child for that. It's a floor raising and a ceiling raising endeavor when you can do that, because you can afford a lot more around these guys than you could. They have not a ton of space this upcoming year, right? I think that they could probably do some stuff, to move around some money or whatnot, but they will certainly benefit from the fact that he makes almost, he makes very little money. He makes $3.2 million this year. That's almost half a million behind Najee Harris will make in 2023. So it is a big time benefit. They'll cut Trubisky, I would imagine. Like, there's some other guys in here that they can move around some money for and be in, I think, much better shape going into this year and hopefully add some more, add some additional talent to this roster. So I'd imagine this team can compete, and they've shown the ability to compete. I imagine they could compete in 2023. I'll probably be betting their playoff futures, honestly. I think that team's pretty good. They've got a high, they got a pretty high floor, would be my thought. Davis Mills with Houston, he is good as gone. Serviceable this year. I think he could be on like a Gardner Minshew. Like, he's less mullet, less like spandex version of Gardner Minshew would be, less media, clickbait Gardner Minshew. Like, that's kind of the arc that I would see Davis Mills on. So get one of the better backups around the league. I could see, honestly, I think it probably makes sense for them to move him this offseason. Because, do you want sort of the established guy that was a starter, there, if you're going to draft a new guy, right? That does that create division in the locker room, all that stuff. They probably think that he's not the guy. I can imagine them moving him the way that Jacksonville moved Minshew when they drafted Trevor Lawrence. Indy, Matt Ryan, he was actually really good on a pregame show. He was interesting, at least on that. And you figure it's probably an audition, right? I think it was CBS or something during the playoffs. So I don't know if he's going to retire. He hasn't put an official statement yet, but he is not going to be the starter for them in 2023. Trevor Lawrence, yes. Tannehill, I have no. He's going into the last year of his deal. Like, they could move on. This is a team that could pivot to, the next iteration, right? The next sort of generation. Maybe go through a little bit of a mini rebuild. All that stuff would be potential for them. It would not surprise me if any of that happened. But Vrabel said just this week they've already talked to him about his comfort level with the new offensive coordinator they hired. It seems like he's involved. It doesn't seem like Aaron Rodgers is involved to that level. Not that they're making huge hires or anything like that, but it seems like he's much more in line with what they're thinking than maybe an Aaron Rodgers is at this point. I think that means there's a pretty good chance that he's back. I do think maybe the biggest thing that we learned from the quarterback position in Tennessee this year is that Malik Willis is not the long-term guy. It might be Josh Dobbs or something like that being, maybe a backup, or, if they were to move on from Tannehill, maybe Dobbs can compete, for a job, something like that. It'd be tough to see. It's always tough with these teams. Can you sort of get high enough to draft a quarterback? Like, they're picking at 11. You figure three of them are probably gone by that point. Is that a team that could take is that a team that takes a guy like Anthony Richardson that maybe falls, but they take a shot on him? Because, hey, they have a guy in house, like, we can take a year to sort of develop him. That would be a team as you're looking towards the future. Again, if Vrabel thinks he's got some stability and he's going to make more decisions, like, that's the type of scenario it would be a good spot for a guy like him, right? I'd much rather have him go there than go to a developmental quarterback go to like Washington, right? Something, because you don't know what you're going to get. At least with a team like Tennessee, you've got a developmental shot there, because you feel pretty good about Vrabel sort of being there long term. And again, if Tannehill's back, you don't feel no obligation to play him right away. And a guy like Richardson seems like he needs a year, from the limited quarterback school stuff that I've been watching. Denver, Russell Wilson, yes. Patrick Mahomes, yes. Still the best quarterback in the league. Not sure that needs to be said to this audience, but I just want to make sure I'm clear on the record with that. Derek Carr, good as gone. I'm fascinated by what their decision process is going to be. There's some Rodgers, there's some Rodgers sprinklings of crumbs out there in the news media right now. We'll see. But I'm watching for that. You know, do they go back to, you know, developing again? What's Josh McDaniels aspire to be would be a question that I would have. Like, this team could go a number of different ways. So I'm interested to see sort of what they think of themselves. And that'll probably tell us something. You know, is Stidham a guy that could potentially be a starter? I would take shots on Stidham deeper in Superflex startup drafts this year. I would do that. That would be something I would do just in case. Right, just in case. Maybe he showed just enough where they say, all right, like, let's try it out for a year, right? We'll see. The Chargers, Herbert, yes. Dallas, Dak Prescott, yes. Giants, Daniel Jones. I don't love this, and I mentioned it. I think I mentioned it in the NFC storylines thing. If you look actually at the last year of that year that Tyrod Taylor unexpectedly took the Bills to the playoffs, it was 2017. That was actually the Nathan Peterman start year. I'll remember that vividly because it was my first daughter had just been born, and we were in the hospital watching the game. And I remember he threw five interceptions in the first half, and I was like, and that was her first, literally the first game she was alive for. And I was like, I hope this isn't a trend of things to come. It's gotten better since then. But they reinserted Tyrod Taylor back into the lineup. They end up going to the playoffs. And he had strikingly similar numbers to Daniel Jones this past year, like strikingly similar. If you blind test him, you're like, wow, those look very, very much alike. It's interesting because their GM, Joe Shane, was there and made the decision to move on from Tyrod Taylor after that season. So, I think this is going to be an interesting watch for them. I don't think it's a foregone conclusion that Daniel Jones is back with the Giants. Philly, Jalen Hurts, yes. Carson Wentz, no. In Washington, I would, you know, if he gets into the 30s, something like that, I'm interested in Carson Wentz because, again, you start counting, you start doing the musical chairs counting at the quarterback position, and there's going to be chairs that don't have, you know, quarterbacks sitting in them. It is probably warrants some level of, is this person going to get a rebound opportunity, something like that. Carson Wentz is quarterback 44, 226 overall at Fantasy Calc. I'm interested at that cost. So we'll see. I don't think it's outside of the realm of possibility he's a 2023 starter. People are going to look at what Carson Wentz can do and say, like, we can craft that. Right, because you look at like the handful of, you know, you look at his 10 best throws of the year, and you're like, wow, like that, there's some good stuff there. The problem is like the rest of the stuff, isn't, you know, the Carson Wentz experience, we'll call it, isn't lovely, and so that's kind of why he's been bouncing around. But it wouldn't shock me if he was, you know, some team was convinced themselves that they could turn him into a starter, even if that's a team like Tampa, something like that. Like, there's going to be a shortage of guys, so I'd imagine Carson Wentz gets a phone call from someone this offseason. Same thing with Brissett, by the way. Detroit, Jared Goff. I am not certain. This is a team that I could imagine. I could see a scenario where they're in the quarterback market for an upgrade. Like, I think this is a sneaky Lamar Jackson team. And one of the things, they've got the picks as well. Like, they could go up to, you know, really high in the draft and pick a guy if they wanted to, right? Those are options available to them. Maybe they're in line for quarterback 3 in this class where they sit, right, with that Rams pick. So I think the most likely scenario is that Jared Goff is a starter. They have ammunition to make an upgrade. We'll do, this could be a strategy session. Maybe I'll do some content on this. But I think Jared Goff's a really valuable learning lesson when we think about player performance and we think about sort of variance and all that stuff. If you look at Jared Goff's career, like, on an EPA per play type basis. And the last, we'll call it the last half of the season, I think it was like week 10 on, right? So it wasn't exactly half, but like week 10 on, he was like the league leader in EPA per play. And people are really excited, right? I was excited. I had Detroit Lions futures. A lot of them were profitable and it was good. Like I was wanted them to make the playoffs. It would have been even more profitable, right? Very excited. I was a fan of Detroit. Like I talked about Detroit a lot. I was optimistic about Detroit. It turned out to be a pretty good season for Detroit. It came off the back of Jared Goff playing excellent in the second half of the season. It's basically the highest he's ever performed. And you have to ask yourself, do you believe that that is sustainable? Or do you believe he's going to go back to kind of what he's been, which is like an average quarterback, maybe a little bit below average quarterback, throughout his career, right? You fall into the trap of like, hey, we ended really well. We were on a hot streak. Like we can really maximize this going into the future. You fall into that trap and don't address the position in the offseason. That's how you continue to be mediocre. So I do think that this team needs to address the position. Again, don't pay veteran contracts to average quarterbacks. This is a good example of that. Even though, that's what Jared Goff is. Again, I like Jared Goff as a player, as a fantasy asset. That's all great. However, like from an NFL perspective, they have to realize that he played probably at the best level they'll ever see from him. And you can't really rely on that sort of arc to continue with him. So I think he's a really interesting, a really interesting player in that. Because he's a good lens of which you think about variance and you think about player arcs and you'd much rather invest on the bottom of a player's arc than at the top of it when you're expecting some regression. So Goff's the example of that. Again, I think he's a sell high in Dynasty for all those reasons. All right, the next one up here is Justin Fields. I am putting no. I think Justin Fields will be a starter in 2023. I am not certain that that is with the Chicago Bears. I think the Chicago Bears should be in the market, should be exploring quarterbacks. They should meet with all of them. Again, until you have the answer, you need to consistently be trying to find the answer. I am on board with the idea of you draft a quarterback every year. Right? I'm on board with that idea. It doesn't necessarily mean you need to do it at one, but it doesn't necessarily mean that Justin Fields is going to lose his job. But we see the benefit of overdrafting quarterbacks. Jalen Hurts, right? Because if things go poorly, if with whatever your situation is in front of you, you've got a shot behind him, right? And that's what Jalen Hurts is. With Justin Fields, it's they should be addressing the position again behind him, just in case he's not the guy. I don't think I would draft at one, right? I think they probably know if he's their guy or not. And so they'll probably make that decision and they could trade him and take someone at one. If they don't believe it, but I think they know the information that they know that's not public will probably go a long way to making that decision for them would be my guess, but, we don't know it. So I'm not confident in it for 2023. Aaron Rodgers, I think he's in a dark room someplace at this point. So no, I don't know what he's doing. I don't think he knows what he's doing, at least allegedly. Kirk Cousins, he's got this contract situation that they kind of have to. It's like a huge cap number this year. They kind of got to figure out what they're going to do with him. He's tradable, maybe an extension candidate. They can't cut him, really. I'm not certain what they're going to do, so we'll see this play out. He's another one I think is a starter. I think Goff's a starter. I think he's a starter. I think Derek Carr's a starter. Probably Daniel Jones is a starter, too. Tannehill as well. Some of the guys we've mentioned where I'm not sure they're necessarily going to be back. I do think there's a handful of these guys that I'm pretty sure are starters that maybe just not with their teams presently. So just sort of keep that in mind. I'm confident in Cousins, in a couple-year window here. I'm not necessarily sure it's going to be in Minnesota. Atlanta, Desmond Ridder, I'm not confident. Carolina, P.J. Walker, Sam Darnold, I'm not confident. The Saints, Andy Dalton's a free agent. They're bringing in Derek Carr for a visit, or did. I'm not sure exactly when that was going to occur, although I saw it was reported that it was going to occur. So we'll see how that unfolds. Brady has retired, so no in Tampa. Arizona, Kyler Murray, yes, with the caveat it's probably not to start the season. So, but he's under a long-term contract. We'll see what the relook of this team is. There could be a lot of changes on this team. Wide receiver could be changing with DeAndre Hopkins, tight end with Zach Ertz. Trey McBride wasn't good this year. So we'll see. Like, there's a lot changing there. Marquise Brown could step into a really big role, a surprisingly big role. So we'll watch that. Matthew Stafford, yes, he's going to be back. He's committed to being back. So that is good there. San Francisco, no idea what they're going to do with Trey Lance or Brock Purdy. Trey Lance could be a trade candidate. That's possible. I think Brock Purdy's, it's possible he fights for a starting job. The UCL injury is less damaging in the NFL than it is in a baseball player. So that's good. We'll see sort of what this unfolds with. And then last but not least, Geno Smith. I saw it reported this week that he's pretty confident they're going to come to an extension. It seems like they're in the process. This seems like it could be decided, you know, well before free agency, you know, well before any tags or anything like that. It kind of has that arc for it. I'm putting no at present because I'm not certain. Again, this is a team that shouldn't probably fall for the bait. They should maybe draft, they should sign a Derek Carr-like contract that they could get out of and not be debilitating for them going into the future. That's a reasonable thing to do. Pay him a ton of money this year, that's fine. You know, have a big contract for him in coming years, but have the flexibility that it's not guaranteed or whatever, all of that. And they should be in the business of probably drafting somebody. You know, maybe that's not necessarily quarterback one or two, but probably drafting someone because, you know, again, what Geno Smith do you believe in, right? I find Geno Smith was a fascinating and highly entertaining story, right? I root for those stories. It's fun. It's what makes stories sports fun, right? Stories like that where guys, you know, comeback stories, right? True comeback player of the year, like without question, should have been a unanimous one. It's an incredible comeback story. That said, right, like, do you sort of hitch your long-term wagon to that? Like, you know, if he does it again, maybe you do, right? It feels a little bit like Tannehill-esque, right? It kind of feels like him to some degree. So, but I would draft competition for him. Again, maybe that's not in the first round, but certainly be drafting guys to add into that situation to continue to try and retool your franchise in the aftermath of Russell Wilson. So, you know, big lessons here, lots of moving pieces, 13 guys I feel confident are starters for their team this upcoming year. By the way, if you're thinking about some of these things, I think it's interesting, and Minnesota was sort of in this category, and it probably paid off for them in ways that in just lucky ways, but they were like, you know, should we retool or should we just kind of re-up with Kirk Cousins? And they kind of looked around and said, you know, I don't know, it appears that they looked around and said, like, we can compete this year, like, let's compete this year. And so they re-up with Kirk Cousins. They have him back, and you know they played really well, or they played okay, and their record was really good. You know, there's some of that with, like, there's a lot of incentive. There's some bad teams in the NFC, and like if you're a team like Detroit, like I find this one to be interesting because again, you can draft a guy, but like, you know, Jared Goff could be good enough to be, you know, one of the better offenses in the NFC this upcoming year with how much uncertainty that there is, right? So I think like that there's a lot of interesting decision-making process that we'll be able to learn from this as well. So again, we're constantly pushing in on contending. I don't think teams are necessarily always optimized that way. So it'll be interesting to really watch this offseason. I think there'll be a lot of moving situations and a lot of things that we can garner from, you know, give us some strategy guidance, give us some case studies to think about as we continue to flesh out our dynasty strategy toolbox. So, all right, well, that'll do it here for this edition. And until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we'll talk again very soon.